Welcome to The Favorites, the podcast. I'm Chad Millman from the Action Network, and this is the Parlay Show, and we are getting so close. Me and my brothers from the Action Network, Paul LaDuca, 10 years in the majors, four-time All-Star. Jeff Schwartz, 8 years in the NFL as an offensive lineman. We have been trying to win a nine-team parlay since the start of the NFL season. Last week, we abandoned making bets on sides and totals, and we just tried to do a straight-up money-line parlay. Just pick the freaking winners, and we came so close, boys. So close. Jeff Schwartz, how close did we come?
I think we were 6-3. We had a one-point loss in Kansas City. We had Jacksonville inexplicably losing to the Redskins, and then the Rams, though. That was atrocious. I mean, they were bad. I mean, I get why we picked them. Clearly, they were 13.5-point favorites. But wow, that was ugly last night. We were close, though. We're going to get there this week. I have a feeling. There's some good games.
Paulie, how are you feeling? I know you're getting you're struggling a little bit right now.
Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right. let's get through this. Yeah, I'm struggling a little bit. The Rams, you're right. Goff and Gurley didn't look like he was going to be going home sleeping well last night after that game. I hope he's okay.
He came back in the game. I think they have a chance. Their offense is just broken. I mean, they
made a good tweet last night. Cooper Kupp, was he the key?
Well, I put that on Twitter yesterday, and I had a couple responses back from people that I trust, and they said basically he's their first option. But I mean, sure, you still have Todd Gurley, Robert Woods, your tight ends, Jared Goff, a good offensive line. I think what happened is they got to a point where they became too conservative, but to a point where they became too one-dimensional. They run the same personnel grouping 98% of the time, 11 personnel. They line up in mostly the same formations, and they do basically the same stuff all the time with a lot of window dressing. They run a lot of zone. They run a ton of play-action passes, so teams are hammering their offensive line. They're really getting after their tight ends in the run game. And then they're just sitting in zone coverage and making Jared Goff beat them without breaking routes. They're not allowing the wide receivers to get open in the middle of the field. And it's really affecting Goff. They turn the ball over a ton now, and they just look like they're broken. They've won the West, so they need to focus the next 2 weeks on trying to get this offense back.
That's a great analysis there, Jeff, because Jared Goff does not, like, the last 5 weeks hasn't looked like the same quarterback. And this is where betting becomes a fascinating canary in the coal mine, because you could see that the Rams, going back to when they played the Packers, when they played the Seahawks, when the public was all in on the Rams at these crazy levels and the point spreads were so high, and they stopped covering. And you could just tell, like, I think the last 6 or 7 weeks, they've maybe covered one game, and it was against the Lions on the road in a chance where the Lions had a chance to backdoor, in a game where the Lions had a chance to backdoor cover. And, like, they have not been the same team at all. They lost to the Saints. They lost to the Bears. Like, and this looks like a Jared Goff problem to me.
I think it is a big Jared Goff problem. You know, he's a quarterback that, I know we always talk about system quarterbacks and whether or not that's a good or bad thing. I mean, he definitely plays well in the system, and he's a guy that I don't think takes very well to getting hit. Now, a lot of quarterbacks don't, so it's not like it's something that's only a Jared Goff problem, but he's been getting hit a lot more than he had ever been hit or in the season. The last couple of weeks, whether it was Fletcher Cox last night just wreaking havoc in the middle of that Rams offensive line. And maybe it is as simple as Cooper Kupp was the guy they used in the middle of the field. He's not there anymore, and they haven't adjusted. But Sean McVay is supposed to be an offensive genius. Like, he's supposed to figure this out. We see Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco with a third-string quarterback beat the Seahawks yesterday. Like, their offense continues to run. Baker Mayfield, rookie, their offense continues to get better with essentially a fill-in offensive coordinator. So the Rams have got to, Sean McVay, it's up to you, man. You got to figure this out, and you got to get Goff some confidence, get him back on track.
It's also interesting to me, you made a really good point, and this is something that the broadcasters talk about all the time too. The Rams almost take pride in running everything out of the same set. It's like, we are smarter than anybody else. So it doesn't matter what anyone else is going to do. We're going to trick them with the way we run motion and all these kinds of things, but it's going to be the same set. Why don't they just run different sets? Why don't they just add that? How hard is it?
Well, it's not very hard, but this is their identity, and I think now they're going to have to do something different next week. And like I said, they've already won the NFC West. Now, they're fighting for a playoff bye, and with the Bears win yesterday, they're only one game behind the Rams, and they have obviously the tiebreaker. So the Rams have got to keep winning games, but you got to find ways throughout the next couple of weeks to figure something else out on offense, whether it is adding a second tight end and doing, you know, having two tight end formations. I'm not even sure they have a fullback on their roster, but bringing some more pro set stuff in there. Coaches are very stubborn, right? And they have egos, and they want to run what they know best. And what happens is, I find it happens very often to the best offensive coordinators, the best of them. It happens to Andy Reid all the time, is when things don't go well, you revert back to what you know best. So the ramp, things don't go well. Okay, guys, let's get back to our base stuff. Let's do what we normally do. Well, that base stuff's not working. So they have to think outside the box moving forward. And I think they'll figure it out now. The playoffs, though, it's not setting up too great, because if they got to play the Bears in L.A. In this, I don't like that matchup for the Rams at all.
I tell you what, Cesar Millan, the dog whisperer, would not be happy with Sean McVay's body language. I mean, he looks like he's a dead panic on the sideline the last two weeks. I'm sorry.
You think so?
First time they've lost back-to-back games under McVay.
He's freaking. And I think you're right about Chad. He's very, very stubborn. He's going to stick to his guns because he is this offensive genius, and he's this and he's that. Like, the worry on his face. Listen, when the kid dropped the ball and he muffed the punt, like, you can't have that body language towards your players. You have to tap the kid on the head, go get him next time. It's starting to frustrate him now, and that frustration can roll over to his players. I just looked like that to me in his face at the end of that game.
Speaking of frustration, this weekend, Paul LaDuca, you posted a video of getting thrown out of a game.
That was great.
Calling balls by protesting balls and strikes. It's hilariously funny, and one of the best things that people always talk about when, like, guys get thrown out are the things that get players thrown out. Explain to our listeners exactly what happened. Set up the game, set up who was pitching, set up who you were playing, the count, the scenario, where you were in the season, and then take us through what happened.
We were playing the Oakland A's, and that was Jason Kendall that was catching. Joe Blant was on the mound, and I was a hitter that I really did not care the strike zone with nobody on base. But the bases were loaded in that situation. So now it's not
what,
like...
Wait, hold on. What year was it? Where were you in the season? What were the stats?
I was 06 or 07. I want to say it was 07. And we're obviously in the midst of a pennant race. So, like, the bases are loaded, 0-0 game. And Glavine that night had thrown, like, I don't know how many pitches on the inside corner, because that was his corner. And Marvin Hudson, I actually like Marvin, was the umpire. And he had not given him that pitch all night. And the pitch before that was down. And that pitch, to me, was borderline inside. Now, it caught the inside corner, but he had not given it to me all night. So the first thing I said to him, I said, the first pitch is down, and that one was inside. Let's go. And then he immediately took off his mask and he came after me.
What did you mean when you said let's go? What were you saying to him? What did that mean?
And get your head out of your ass. You know, basically what it is. I'm sitting back there. You gotta understand, I'm the one that I used to tell umpires all the time, I'm the one that's calling pitches. Like, why are you screwing me? Like, I'm the one that's talking to him going, listen, you haven't given me this pitch all night. Let's go. So then when I came back into the box and turned back around, I said, let's friggin' go. I never cussed. And then he tossed me. And that's when I went berserk. And if you see the second part of that, I'm telling Ed Donahue that if he goes, at that time, Frank Robinson was the disciplinary person that handed down suspensions and fines. I said, if I get fined, I'm going to report all of you guys. I never cussed. I never said a word. If he can't handle me turning around and saying something to him, because the crowd's in his face because he's been making bad calls all night and he shouldn't be umpiring games. And then all they do is say this and that. I never got a fine for that game, but I got suspended. How does that happen?
Did you get suspended because you started throwing stuff out of the field?
Yeah. And Gary Cohen didn't help me also.
Gary Cohen, the Mets broadcaster.
Yeah, that says I shouldn't have got thrown out of that game. Put on the jockstrap gear.
Because I always thought the rule was if you get personal with the umpire, that's when you get tossed. Like you can argue.
You do.
But
listen, there's certain guys, just like officials, there's certain guys you can just go off on.
Right.
And they'll take it. Yeah. And this and that. And then there's just certain guys that take it personal. I immediately pointed. Did I turn around? No, I pointed and I said, that first ball was down. That first ball was inside. He took off his mask and came right after me. So when an umpire takes off his mask and comes after you, what are you supposed to do? Oh, okay. Just shit all over me. I'll sit there and take it. No, I came back and I said, let's friggin' go.
Yeah.
Buckle down. Then he tossed me. You know what? He should have tossed me before that. And that's when, you know, I went berserk. But the problem was I had to. And people always just in that. I played with Willie Randolph for 2 years. I love Willie. Great guy. You know how many times he got thrown out of a game in 2 years?
How many?
Zero. So somebody had to do stuff like I did. Zero.
You have to Willie stick Randolph up for your... was my favorite baseball player growing up. Well,
you have to stick up for your players sometimes, even right or wrong. You know, what? Sometimes guys do stupid stuff on the field like I did that day. That was stupid. He stuck up for me, but he's supposed to get thrown out of that game and go ballistic and act like I'm right. That's how you stick up for your players. But he just stood there.
What do you do? So when you get tossed, you go back in the clubhouse, and do you just get changed and then go home, or do you, like, hang out?
No, you got to hang out. You got to hang out. So you go back, you hang out, you blow off some steam. You try to – I remember going back in the clubhouse trying to, like, inch and going, God, that pitch really was a strike, man. trying to sell myself that it was a ball, but, yeah. You go back in there, you sort of just blow off steam. That's funny. You don't really want to leave because if you leave, we end up winning the game 1-0, which is good. You really, really hope that you win the game because you don't want to cost the team, you know, the game.
Speaking of costing us games, maybe we should pick 9 teams that we know are going to win so we can make some money.
You guys ready?
Let's do it, Jeff.
All right. Lots of games this week. There's lots of games that look great. But I'll tell you the one. Well, no, they don't play this week. It's the Panthers and Falcons. Interesting. All right, let's go to Saturday night. This is going to be a big game, but I think the Titans are going to win this game as 10-point favorites against Washington. Look, Washington was a great story last week. All right, they go to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is not a good football team right now. With Cody Kessler leading them, they're just not a good team. They've given up already. Washington goes in there. Teams, we often see this. They get like a little boost at times with a backup quarterback playing his first game. Right, the defense doesn't have film on him, especially a mobile quarterback in Josh Johnson. There's no chance that they go in to Tennessee this week with the way the Titans are playing defensively and win this game, even if the Titans play ugly on offense, which they do at times. Their defense is really good under Mike Vrabel, and I'm going with the Titans here on Saturday night. I hope we don't lose this parlay by Saturday night.
How hard can it be to pick 9 games right just to be on the right side? Like, I do Pigskin Pick'em every week with my best friend Matt. We've been doing it for years, mano a mano against the spread. The winner sends the loser as many second-place trophies that are as embarrassing as possible.
Okay.
And it's the greatest feeling in the world. It's the greatest hundreds of dollars I've spent the past 5 years when I've kicked his ass in against the spread and Pigskin Pick'em. I send him trophies that are so big, he's got to put them together with his kids because I want him to be shamed. I want him to feel bad about losing to me so many times, and I want it to span generations. I want his kids to feel his pain, right? Every week, I probably pick between, I don't know, 8 and 11 games right against the spread. against the spread. We can't even pick nine fucking games right as winners.
What am I supposed to say to that? Do you like my Titans pick or not?
I like it.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I'm all over it.
Maybe
nothing not to like about it. I'm all over the Titans. I love the Titans. I've been on the Titans.
I don't know why
all season.
I bet on them this week too. I don't know why we haven't won. I mean, it's the first week we've done the money line. Last week was. So
we're getting there.
We're gonna get there.
Are you ready?
Paulie, you're up.
College football, the Army Black Knights. I told you this last week. Major Applewhite fires his defensive coordinator, first of all, after they lost to Memphis, which is a similar, not similar running style. But now they got a new defensive coordinator that has to prepare for the triple option. They're, according to Colin Wilson, 77th in the nation against the stuff in stuff rate, which would be Houston. Yep. But with Ed Oliver not on the field, they gave up almost close to 45 points with him not on the field. With him on the field, the yards per carry go down almost 3 yards. He is not playing. He's going to get ready for the draft. This line also has gone from 67 to 60 because I just think that Army is just going to possess the ball. Plus, Houston's starting a freshman quarterback. They lost their quarterback. I know he's got a couple weeks to prepare and got a little bit better, but I just think Army is going to run all day and all night all over Houston.
I like this pick, and I'll add one more thing in there as well. You mentioned the Houston's had a quarterback change, and they're not going to have the ball enough, in my opinion, to score enough points. And we know that when you play a team like Army, points are at a premium. I mean, Army is 10-2. They're good for a reason. They score points. They hold the ball. They held the ball against Oklahoma for 45 minutes of that game. I think they're going to win this game, and they're going to win this game big. And they're only a 3.5-point favorite. So they're, you know, their money line's minus 170. It's good value for the parlay.
Jeff, I'm telling you, this guy Ed Oliver's a Jew. This guy's legit. He's going to be a legit NFL guy.
Ed Oliver, I will side bet you that he will not be a good pro.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, he makes Houston way better.
Do you think it's an attitude thing?
No. The jacket thing was stupid. That was Major Applewhite was being douchey as a coach. I'll tell you why. So Ed Oliver's an undersized D tackle. He's like 285. And at that size, you have to be an elite pass rusher to play in the NFL. And he's not. And no, I know the idea is, well, he's so athletic and such a freak show. And they played him in this kind of 3-4-2 gappy style D tackle in college. But we don't see very often where a D tackle who cannot rush the passer very well in college becomes an exceptional pass rusher in the NFL. You should be able to rush the passer beyond your athletic traits, just using your quickness or your size. And we see a guy like Quinn Williams at Alabama. I mean, he hit a double team with he swam move one guy, swatted the arms, and hit a guy with another swim move. He did three moves in one. Like, that to me are transferable traits. A guy that can't rush the passer, and you say, hey buddy, go do the NFL with less practice time now, less time in pads, I don't see it. I don't think he'll be as good as people think he will be.
God, that is great analysis. That is great, grade A professional analysis right there.
Thank you.
What do you think of your alma mater, Oregon, scoring the top player in high school football?
Yeah.
This defensive How about that? From where, California?
Yeah, DN. He went to Oaks Christian. Yeah, that's a big get for us. I'll tell you what, Mario Cristobal is doing a fabulous job recruiting. We've never gone a player that high. I can't even imagine. I think Jonathan Stewart might have been the highest player we had ever gone. But how about that? A defensive end too. It's fantastic.
How much do you think it matters though? Like, when you get to that level, I don't know that getting six. They have six ESPN 300 guys, top recruiting class in the country probably when it's all said and done.
Oregon
will?
Does
that matter?
Yes. If you look at the national championships, a buddy of mine did a breakdown. I don't have it in front of me, but if you look at them, pretty much the last 15 years, you have to have a top 10, a composite top 10 class over the previous three seasons to win a championship. You need to have the talent there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
You know what I do know? I know I'm making a pick, and I know I'm choosing Indianapolis to win. To win. Okay? To win against the New York Giants.
Oh, at home, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm seeing minus 440.
There's not much to add to this.
Minus 475, I'm seeing in one place.
Marlon Mack is really fun to watch the run, by the way.
I like this whole team.
No, no, they're getting better. You're right. They're the mini Bears. Like, they're not, can't go there because the Bears are for real, but they're ascending. I am with you. Their defense is getting better, too.
If you're me, you're feeling really good that you have Super Bowl tickets on the Saints and the Texans, but you also have the Bears in your Super Bowl pool.
I don't think the Bears can go to New Orleans and win.
I don't either, but I don't mind having them go to the championship game. So when I get to the Super Bowl, so I am lock when it gets to the championship game for having a team I have a bet on in the Super Bowl.
I bet the Saints Patriots like 2 weeks ago on their futures. I have to make up for my Atlanta pick.
It's not going to work out for you.
That is a bad pick.
Jeff, you're next.
I am. All right. Two options on the NFL side, in my opinion. I'll save the other one for last because we might have a good debate on that one. Chargers at home against Baltimore on Saturday night. Here's the deal. I've said this for weeks now. It still holds true. The Baltimore offense is fake. It is non-sustainable. The last 5 weeks, they've rushed for 200 yards every game, except they were like 198 against the Chiefs. And they've played the five worst rushing defenses in the National Football League in a row. In a row. Like, they had the luck of being able to do this 5 weeks in a row. Well, this week, they head to Los Angeles. And look, there's no home field advantage for the Chargers. They actually don't play as well at home. But they are playing good football. And they're beating teams that they're supposed to beat when they have to beat them outside of their one loss against the Broncos. They've now gone, by the way, and they've beaten Seattle in Seattle, Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh, and the Chiefs in Kansas City. They are a really good football team. They actually might be, and look, I'm a Chiefs fan, but I think that they're the most complete team in the AFC right now. Baltimore's going to go in there, they're going to play that defense, the Chargers defense, and they're going to get stuffed the entire game. They don't have any chance, in my opinion. The Chargers have the ninth defense, DVOA, heading into, you know, coming out of last week, I should say. They're not going to put up enough points, in my opinion. And the Chargers, with Gordon back, they're reported he'll be back this week. Keenan Allen's fine. Mike Williams, Antonio Gates, for some reason, can keep doing it. I like the Chargers big in this game. I just don't buy the Ravens at all with that offense going on the road across country. First great defense they played, don't buy it at all.
I think Phillip Rivers just never gets his due. I mean, if you look... Well, no. If you look at the wins they've had in December, they've won at Pittsburgh, at Kansas City. Those are two, just all you need to know right there. I mean, like, and I know they've always come up sort of phony towards the end, but I think this is the 1 year. This is the 1 year that they might not be phony. And they might not be phony. I mean, I'm with you. I told you, the Lamar Jackson... We had Baltimore last week because of Tampa has a bad run defense. And Tampa was in that game for a while. I know you were hanging in the balance, Chad. You needed that game to end at 8.
I middled that thing on 8. I had one option for middling, and I nailed it. They call me the Millie Monster.
Wait, you middled another game?
By accident. I'll tell you what happened. You know, I do this pick'em contest, as I've mentioned, with my buddy Matt.
And you go on SportsCenter, and you wrote 7 books, yeah. And like, yeah, okay.
7 books. And 4 bestsellers. But listen, hey, Jeff, your book right now is part of the stand that makes my computer higher when I do TV from my from my house.
Can you please take a picture of that? That's fantastic, because Thank you for buying it, by the way. We need to get our copies up. Someone texted me, tweeted me a picture. They bought it for, I guess, for Hanukkah or something. I'm like, I didn't know they still made them. I know how many they have in the warehouse. Not many.
You can get it on Amazon.
Yeah, there's not many in the warehouse because they said I bought some. They were putting half of them on auction for like $3, and then if they didn't buy them, they're just going to destroy them. So they told me.
That's what happens.
Like, I was like, wow.
That's what happens. So. In the Pick'em contest, I had bet Baltimore -7.5. I forgot, and then on Sunday morning, I fired away on Tampa Bay +8.5. And so I'm like, well, shoot! Now I've got to root for Baltimore, and I've got to root for Tampa. Do I want to win my Pick'em, or do I want to win my bet?
Wow!
And it ended up landing on 8, which is exactly what I needed.
Wow! Look at you,
the middle monster.
Okay. We'll just get it out of the way. Just cha-ching it, New England.
We're on the Chargers. Look, I freaking love the Chargers.
Yeah, I love the Chargers too. So it's my pick now, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't know what you picked. Yeah, just ring the bell and move on, right?
Yeah, ring it. Move on, New England, move on. 13 points against Buffalo. Let's just move on. I mean, it's a must.
Honest to God, I don't know why that wasn't the first pick.
Yeah, I mean, it was going to be one of our picks, right?
I mean, at some point, yeah. I was just waiting to see like what kind of happened. And that was always in our back pocket. Someone's got to pick that game.
It's like a suicide pool, only we could use them every week to try to win money. By the way, I looked at the odds. I looked at the money line number. I think they were a -1100.
It's going to kill our parlay.
Yeah,
we got to win, though, right? You just got to win, man.
No, I'm sorry. -1300. They're -1300 at William Hill. -800 at 5 dimes.
Just win, baby.
Just win. Even if it's like $5 each, we're just got to win some money. Speaking of winning, you guys ready? Los Angeles Rams on the road at the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah. They got to be at -1000 too.
They're 14, right? I told you guys a long time ago I'm an Arizona Cardinal fan, and you guys didn't believe me. They're the worst team in football. They are.
And -1600.
God, they're so bad.
-1600.
Okay.
But I will say, we're running out of gimmies.
Yeah, I have a couple options here for my last pick. I'm going to... Do you guys want to add an underdog into this equation for this weekend?
As in moneyline underdog?
Moneyline underdog, yes.
Why not?
I want to do it.
Because I think Seattle beats the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football.
So I agree with you, and that was going to be one I went for.
Yeah. I'm a Chiefs fan. Clearly, my brother plays for the Chiefs. I thought they would lose this game before they lost to the Chargers. Seattle is a tough place to play. Russell Wilson is 42-12 all time in Seattle for home games, right? I know quarterback wins is not a stat, but that's a trend, right? That seems very important in a situation we're picking straight up. He's lost one time to an AFC opponent in Seattle. Now, they don't play, obviously, very often in Seattle. I think like once a year, so it's not like that crazy. But that was the Chargers this year. Typically, they lose games in Seattle to like Arizona, Paul, you know that well. Like Arizona, the Niners, like division opponents. They don't lose very many games outside their division at home. Seattle lost to San Francisco, we know, yesterday. It was embarrassing. I had the Niners plus money. I was fine with that, obviously. But we have a Seattle team that wants that fifth seed. They want to play Dallas in the wild card round. They do not want to have to go to Chicago and play the Bears. They already lost to the Bears in Chicago once this year. I think they come out, they win this game. They run the football. They love running the football. And they're a team that will stick to the plan against the Chiefs. They will run the football the entire day. Chiefs run defense is really bad. I think the crowd noise, everything kind of just gets under Chiefs' skin. I think Seattle wins this game outright.
I so 100% agree with you on that. When I was scrolling through, that looks like the exact situation in which the Seahawks win this game.
Yeah.
Desperate times. I actually like the Chargers getting an opportunity to take control in the conference. I 100% agree.
I will tell you this, though. Looking into Week 17 really quick, it'd be very Chargers to beat the Ravens, the Chiefs lose to the Seahawks, and the Chargers go to Denver and lose at Week 17. Very, very Charger-like. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. We will see what happens. Won't we?
There's still a really good bowl game this week, by the way. We haven't got to yet. One of you two want to take it eventually.
What do you guys think of? The Chargers are 4.5-point favorites right now. I think that line is going to go up.
Probably. There's a lot of money on the Chargers so far. Are you going to bet that right now? Is Chad making a bet? Do we have to drop the sounder here?
Your attention, please. Chad is making a bet. Allegedly.
Allegedly, I'm making a bet. Thinking about it. We're going to get back to the podcast in just one second, but first, let me tell you about Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. It strives to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy, with a non-intimidating way for the stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's a simple and intuitive design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. I have used Robinhood. I signed up. It was fantastic. It's everything that they said it was. Mostly, it was easy, and I got information that helped me make decisions. I love that there were no costs. Other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, you learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. You discover new stocks. You track favorite companies. You can get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. I got a free stock. Sign up at favorites.robinhood.com. That's favorites.robinhood.com. Let's get back to the show. Paulie, what do you got?
I don't even know where to go. Tough.
There's a good college game, I think, that's pretty...
See, I like Northwestern, though, but that's later.
Look at Friday at 4 p.m., Paul.
Friday at 4 p.m.?
Yeah.
That is Purdue at, oh no, I'm backwards. Look at the right Toledo thing. At FIU?
No, BYU Western Michigan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's BYU.
Is that
not to make your
Jeff?
Third pick for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're minus 12 BYU. Western Michigan, I want to say that Colin, when I was looking at Colin,
you got this really high in his confidence index. That's why
yeah, he
I
did.
Like
he has 1 through 39. You got to go to the Action website. Colin Wilson does his 1 through 39 confidence picks, and he has them high on the confidence BYU. He actually has them slated as, I think it's 39th. I think his most confident pick.
33 out of 39. He has
33. I'm
sorry.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. So. Minus 12 just to win the game. So now our parlay is probably down to maybe breaking even for the year if we hit this one.
30 cents. We'll win 30 cents on this parlay.
Teams favored by 10 or more points in bowl games have won 73% of the time since 2005.
Yeah. Or
that's pretty good.
Would you rather have a bowl? Oh, it's probably too bold of a pick. No.
Fascinating radio.
Well, my thing is I just think the Bears are just a better team, but I know you got to go to San Francisco, but the San Francisco Chargers just have the Seattle Seahawks number. They've outgained them over 1,000 yards in the last two games they played them. So to me, I just think that ends. But
Chad, how do you feel about the Bears going to San Francisco? You're the Bears fan.
I think it's a weird spot.
Stay away.
I'd stay away. 3.5-point favorites. I don't know that, like, Eddie Jackson is not going to be playing.
Correct.
I think he is a galvanizing force for that secondary. Coming off of winning the conference, I worry about the letdown spot.
What about New Orleans and Pittsburgh? That's a weird line, don't you think so?
Yeah.
So we're going BYU?
Yeah, we'll go BYU.
My chance. I'm going to end this on a winner. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yeah. Yes.
You're supposed to say, yes, I'm ready.
I don't have a high falsetto voice. Sorry.
Come on. You can be, what are you, front dominant?
I am. Yes. Oh, yeah. We should show that on air. Last week, you mocked me for saying that I'm front dominant, like quad dominant. And then you went to the trainer yesterday and he said the exact same thing about you. So maybe it's the same conversation I have with my wife all the time. She thinks I'm stupid. And then someone else tells her the same exact thing I told her. And then she still thinks I'm stupid, but gives me a little bit of credit.
I like your wife.
You'd like her. She puts me in my place quite often.
Get her on the podcast.
I mean, those 30 lunges you did made your trainer.
My legs are a little sore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Dallas over Tampa Bay at home.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. Come on, boys.
I looked at this. You're
Dak
right
Prescott
on this one.
Stinks.
It just worries me because I just don't buy Dallas, but Tampa's not very good.
No. Also, like it's like they're minus 300, so we get a little bit of value here. Like they're going to win this game by
Let
at
me
least a
put,
point.
I'm going to put this thing in here.
Yeah, we're at minus 7, minus 14, minus 14, minus 12.
We need to win, man. We need to win. It has to happen.
It has to. Do you imagine if we would have gone 8-0 going into last night with the biggest favorite on the card gets beat outright?
That would have been so upsetting.
Yeah. Would have been bad.
Do you have a figure what it would pay, Schwartzy?
No, because some of the website I use to do the open the parlays aren't up yet.
They don't have the money lines up yet for a lot of them.
Yeah.
All right, boys, but we got our 9 picks.
We do.
Are you ready to hear them? We have Tennessee on the money line against Washington. We have Army to beat Houston. We have Indianapolis Colts to beat the New York Giants. We have the Los Angeles Chargers to beat the Baltimore Ravens. We have the New England Patriots to beat the Buffalo Bills. The Los Angeles Rams will beat the Arizona Cardinals. Here's our risky one, Seattle to beat Kansas City in Seattle. We have BYU to beat Western Michigan and the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That might be the riskiest of our favorite picks. Dallas is minus 300. I'm feeling pretty good about it, boys.
I feel like we're going to have a winner this week.
Yes.
I think we are. We are.
I think we all should punch it and all win.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for listening to The Favorites. We have shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Download our free Front Strong app, the Action Network app. Please rate and review the show. On Wednesday, I will be with Bob Scucci. On Friday, Georgina will read your reviews on the show, if we like them. I might not, because they tend to make fun of me. Paula Duca, Jeff Schwartz, thanks for joining me. You guys can listen to our show on Apple Podcasts, radio.com/The Action Network, or wherever you get your shows. Until next time.